I'd like to share with you thought concerning the hand of the Lord on us in the evening. Interesting phrase. We find it in Ezekiel 33:22. He says, "Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening." And he says this was before he that was escaped escaped out of Jerusalem, and had opened my mouth. God had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. Dumb, of course, means can't speak, doesn't mean he's not intelligent. He's referring back to God's word to him back in Ezekiel 24, 26, and 27. God told him that he that escapeth Jerusalem, Israel, in that day shall come unto thee. Now, this would some time later that would happen. And then our text verse actually is when it did happen, to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. In that day shall thy mouth be opened to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So as far as we can tell, the dumbness that he experienced from that time on seemed to be his inability to speak in everyday conversation, because we have examples between then of him sharing with them God's word. He was able to speak only when God filled his mouth with words. Now he would be able to engage people in normal conversation. So this was the hand of the Lord coming upon him for, shall we call it a release, but also for a sign to the people, as he says, that there shall be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God can do whatever he chooses, and this is that sign. Now, in our day, the hand of the Lord may come upon us in judgment. It may be that you toss and turn at night when the guilty conscience, the hand of the Lord pressuring, laying upon you. So it comes in judgment. If so, consider the reason for it and humbly bear the rod. Bend over, bear the rod, and humbly bear him who wields it. We're told in Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So he says when God brings that heavy hand of judgment on you as you lay there at night, and the guiltiness of what you've done, what you said, how you did or did not do what you should, just confess it, acknowledge it as sin, and then forsake it. It may be asking forgiveness of the people you've hurt, certainly asking forgiveness of God. Now, if he chastens me in the night season, let me deal with it completely in my heart before I receive his chastening. So there are some sins that we do inside. It's the temptation to do something. And we haven't actually done it, but the temptation was there, and we were siding with it. We were agreeing with it. Well, confess that. That's stepping off the main road. See? Don't go there. There's trouble there. Thorns and thistles there. Snares. So deal with it completely before I receive his chastening, because if you do it, you're going to enter into the consequences that he's warned you against. 1 Corinthians 11:31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." You see, there's the principle. Or if I'm too late for that, if the temptation came, I just went with it, rode that horse to the end of the lane. Let me acknowledge his righteousness and submissively submit to the correction, the chastening, that I might profit by it. Hebrews 12 is the passage you deal with about chastening. And verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Nobody likes being spanked. Not a pleasurable thing. And so the idea here is, of course, you're not going to like the chastening of God, but it'll be grievous. Nevertheless, after your chastisement, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, but only unto them that are exercised thereby. So if you pay attention to this, you see, if you hard to put all together, then you're saying, I deserve this, and I will learn from this. It'll be a correction, not a punishment, but a correction. Now, we can also recognize that the hand of the Lord, like with Ezekiel, might come on us for a different reason. It may come on us for strengthening our soul and lifting our spirit upward toward eternal things. It may be that wonderful thoughts of God, verses that you have read and thought about, may become clear. This is the sense of his divine presence that bears your soul upward to heaven, like wings of eagles we were singing about. Revelation 1:17, "When I, John, saw him," Christ, "I fell at his feet as dead." It was too scary. He was too grand, too glorious. "And he laid his right hand upon me." The hand of the Lord was upon him, "saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." This is Jesus Christ laying a hand of strengthening on him. And with that hand, in comes a box man. Okay, there we go. Such a hand of strengthening, of blessing, fills us to the brim with spiritual joy. When I was talking to Catherine Coy last week, she was saying that when she was in the hospital and couldn't do anything else, it became such a pleasurable thing for her just to spend her day speaking to the Lord and receiving of him that internal blessing that comes with just pure submission to him. Ready to be taken, ready to be lifted back up. So it fills us with spiritual joy. And for the moment, gone are the cares and sorrows of earth, and present is the invisible. The Apostle Paul told us paradoxically to look not on the things that are visible, but look on the things that are invisible, the things that man cannot see. So my blessing to you, may God give a sacred time of divine communion to us this evening. Perhaps you can go over things that you've thought of and learned about in the Word of God today. And before you go to sleep and conditioning your mind to the things of God before you actually go to sleep, you actually put into your mind the things of wonderful dreams. "The Lord knows that I need it very greatly. I've been asking for God's grace. My grace is languished, my corruptions rage. All these pains and aches and all these problems." Took my jacket off. My wife says, "Oh, you got blood on your elbow. It's that injury that I must have set it on a hard surface and popped it open again." So back to Band-Aids on my elbow. "So my corruptions rage, my faith is weak, my devotion is cold." It's hard when about everything you do, just ask Gary, causes pain. It's hard to think of the things above because you're drawn down to me, I hurt. This is bad. That's not profitable. sometimes necessary. Pain is a gift of God to tell us something's wrong. But therefore, I plead for him to lay his gracious hand on me. So let me ask, what might restrain God's hand upon you this evening? The hand of blessing, the hand of strengthening, the hand of ennobling. Address your dear Father with the understanding that he let his precious begotten Son Jesus to die, let him die for your adoption. He did that for you. His love for you is beyond calculation. So may you feel that same hand on you that once touched Ezekiel and opened his mouth to speak the praises and the power of our holy God.